Father, we just thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a hope and a life worth living. We thank you that there's a citizenship that we have been given and that we've been made citizens of, not by our own works and by our own good birth, but because of the rebirth that you birthed us with through Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we thank you that you've given us a place that we can call home that's not just here on earth, but it's a place that every heart that believes in you will go to when we breathe our last here on earth. And we thank you, Father, that the life that we're going to doesn't just wait for us there only, but it's available to us now by faith as we call heaven to earth the way that you told us to, Jesus. We thank you for the life that you've given us and the potential that it has to transform us and the people around us. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm just so thankful for his word this week. I was just talking to Pastor Don yesterday and just realizing, you know, when you're just going all out and you're kind of, and I think most of us are, we're just going all out. Like, there's not a lot of spare, oh, I don't know what to do today. Let me just sit and think about it. You know, we're all motivated. We're moving. We're doing stuff. And you realize that in those moments of just being fatigued and exasperated and just knowing that there's not much left that you've got to give, you've kind of poured it all. Those moments are the main time when you have to get in the Word. And you open that book because when you're truly hungry and your soul is tired, you read some things, and maybe if you're just, everything's going good, you read the Scripture and it's almost like a discipline thing where you know you need to do it, so you do it. But when you're at your wit's end and you're just really needing something and you need refreshment and you open it, the Holy Spirit just takes that Scripture and it seems like it goes to such a deeper place. And I just wonder, you know, in the busyness of our society, if we just made a little more time to be able to sit before the mirror of the Word of God and find out who we really are, find out who He really is, and find out what the plan is that He has for our lives. I wonder if we'd find out that the busyness of our lives is actually a catalyst for that Word being so much more impacting to us because we need it more than ever. And I'm finding that for myself, and I'm just so blessed that the potential of what the book of the God's Word, the Bible, the potential that's in that book is so powerful that, I mean, it was only available to the public a few hundred years ago. It was kept away by the religious elitists. The general population couldn't just go and read the Bible. It wasn't translated into a language they could understand. They had to go to special training to be eligible to learn the Latin, to learn the Greek, to learn the way the Bible was written down and locked away safely in monasteries and in places where only those privileged could read it and then disseminate the information, filter it to the general populace. And now we have a reality where we can all, everyone, the Bible's been translated into so many known languages. There are still some languages out there that it's not been translated into, and we've got amazing missionary work going on to try to get it into the language so that everyone can read. But I wonder sometimes, do we take for granted the privilege that we have that we can open this thing and read God's written word recorded for thousands of years to humanity? Yeah. We can all do it. You can pull it, dust it off, open it, and realize this stuff has been written here and it's been preserved this way just for me. So I can see, what does God think about me? What does He think about my lifestyle? What does He think about the way I should treat my government, my family, my spouse? All these things, the pricelessness of what the Word of God embodies, and our ability to just look over it, because it's like, well, everybody's got one of those. Everybody's got a few versions of those. You can get it free on your phone or your tablet. You can have access to it without even paying anything for it now. Just free apps and like dozens of translations. You know, and we think the accessibility of it, the ease of accessibility, gives it a low value. But let me just remind you this morning that this nation was founded on the truths that it contained, and it stood for centuries where other nations didn't, and became a rescuing force to go into a lot of the rest of the world when oppression and communism was trying to suppress human value, because it was founded on truths and principles that are so dangerous, that are so powerful, that are so life-changing. That people are afraid of it. The enemy of our soul is afraid of what we're going to find here. And you watch. You open Facebook and you can scroll for an hour. You open your YouVersion Bible app and you just lay in the same position as you're scrolling on Facebook. And you watch how many verses you can read before you feel so tired. You're just like, whoa, I think I'm just going to, I'll pick up in the morning. I'm talking about me, and I'm sure it's the same for anybody. Take me up on that. Just test yourself and then ask yourself why. Why is it that suddenly the true spiritual nourishment that I need so that I can go out and bear much fruit, like Jesus said. Why is it that suddenly I'm so fatigued that my eyes are just going shut and I fall asleep with the right on my chest? It's because there's an enemy out there that is designed to stop us from reaching the fullest potential that's in us because of the seed that Jesus put in here when he came to live in us by the Holy Spirit. And if he can distract us from the thing that feeds that and encourages the freedom that's within us to continue to grow, he has us. If you want to stop an enemy, you don't wait to them to amass their armies, to get full strength, to build weapons of war for 5 years, and then go to war with them. You stop them before they even develop the nuclear fuel that's needed to put in the bombs that they're eventually going to shoot at you, don't you? That's what all this is going on in the Middle East is about. It's trying to control the intensity of the weapons that they're going to be able to direct towards us and towards any freedom-loving people. And we need to realize sometimes that the enemy sees the potential that's in us and he wants to stop it at all costs because he knows he's a defeated foe. The cross proved that he has no power over those born of Christ because Christ came out of the grave and he said he's the firstborn of many brethren. That means anyone who submits to Christ and is born of that seed, in the seed is the potential of overcoming that grave. It's going to happen. And so he tries to rob us of even developing in the direction of the potential that we all have. But I want to tell you, the potential that each one of us have to change the environment that's around us is not based on your own cleverness. It's based on the fact that you contain the light of life, and the light dispels the darkness. You don't have to try to make the lights work. You flip the switch and they just do automatically what lights are designed to do. Darkness has no power in and of itself. It's a non-entity. It just exists because light hasn't been there yet. When light comes on, it just reveals that the darkness was never really there. It's just that light wasn't there. This is the battle that we're called to walk. This is the struggle that we're in. We live in a current evil age. We live in an age where evil exists, where darkness reigns over the darkened minds of people that are willing to follow in the ways of destruction, destroying themselves and destroying other people. But we have to realize the way Jesus said in John 15, the whole goal of his heart is that we would bear much fruit. And John 15, 8 says that, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. The potential for a seed to produce a tomato is in there when you put it in the ground, but the tomato's not in your hand. You're not slicing a nice tomato sandwich. I thank God tomatoes are coming in fresh now, and you can have a fresh, I love tomato sandwiches. I mean, you toast the bread, a little mayonnaise, man, and bacon if you have it, if you're not kosher or whatever, right? I mean, it's just such a simple, but it's... If you dig the seed up out of the ground and you try to make a sandwich, even if you had a few hundred of them, tomato seeds are tiny. You're not going to taste like anything. You can spit it out because it's the potential for your tomato sandwich is in the seed that's in the ground, but it's not the tomato yet. And there's a potential in every single one of us that we sometimes, there's a potential to walk in true freedom. There's the potential for America to walk in a true freedom where we respect one another, where if we follow the Constitution, where there's safeguards so that everyone gets to live the life that they want to live, as long as it doesn't impose on someone else's freedoms, they're allowed to live that. The potential is there, but the harvest of that, the result, the fruit that produces the actual freedom is paid for at a price. It comes at a price called faith and patience sometimes. You got to see that seedling come up out of the ground, and it's like it doesn't look like much when it's only this big. It doesn't even have blossoms yet. Then it gets a little bigger, and it has little yellow flowers on it. And you're like, wow, that's... But you do it, and you go through the work of fertilizing and watering because you know what's coming is something that you're going to make a BLT with. And so you endure that whole time, or plum tomatoes if you're going to make sauce, if you're Italian, whatever it is. You wait through because you already know. It's just a natural example, but in the spirit, how do we miss it sometimes when we know we're not who we were? We know that God touched us in a way that changed us from who we were. We don't think the same. We think things now and believe things now that when we were outside of it, we thought people that believed that were crazy. And yet here we are. We're trying to find our way. We're feeding ourselves with the Word. We're growing in a place, but then we can lose sight of what the end game was all along. That there's a purpose that Christ put his seed in us so that we would produce him on earth. If you read the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the stuff the Holy Spirit produces is the exact nature of Christ. It's everything that he produced here, but we're producing it by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the design of everything, but potential in and of itself is not enough. Amen. You being implanted with the incorruptible seed is not enough. It has to mature. It has to grow. It has to become able to produce the fruit that it was supposed to produce, which is the love that this world is starved of right now. And I want to encourage you not to be discouraged, not to allow yourself to start to blossom and then realize, that's just little yellow flowers. I don't really see what the big deal is. No, fruit is coming. There's a maturing of your life that comes when you realize that God is the one that's working in me for His will and for His good pleasure. Everything that needs to be worked in me, and life comes against us, and fertilizer, you know, poo gets dumped on us. Stuff happens to us that actually produces us to make better tomatoes at the end of the whole thing anyway. But it doesn't smell good. It doesn't feel good. It's stuff that if you just get embittered and you're like, why has this happened to me? And blah, blah, blah. Then you're embittered and you produce bitter fruit, or you don't produce fruit at all, or it's dwarfed, or it's got infested with bugs or disease, or it's damaged. And the freedom that we have the potential of walking in is powerful. But to walk in it, there's a price that gets paid. There's decisions that get made on a daily basis to say, yeah, I want to scroll for an hour here, but I'm going to open this word and find out what it says about me, because the people around me are up against an eternity without Him, and they need to know Him somehow in some way. So Lord, show me how it is that I'm going to reach them. Show me by Your word how it is that I'm going to get empowered to be able to go outside myself and speak truth to these people. Because the fact is, we all live under an umbrella. We all live under something. We're all overshadowed. And here in America, we're still overshadowed with freedom for the most part. There's this umbrella of freedom. But in the spirit, there's also an umbrella. There's a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places that the Bible says we live under the umbrella of that. You know that when the clouds are out, it's a cloudy day. The climate is affected by what's over top of our atmosphere. In different places of the world where clouds don't exist, the ground is scorched, it becomes desert. There's nothing there to shade it. Clouds, the cover, everything about the environment of what we live in is important and it matters. But the fact is, God has given us something that thrives no matter what the environment is. But we have to, in our own hearts and minds, realize that we're in that environment to make a difference in it, not to succumb to it and not to be jaded by it. The fact is, we all have something, a torch to carry, a light to carry, and to deny that there's a darkness out there isn't the point. The point is to acknowledge that the light that's in me is greater than the darkness that's out there in this world. And when we do that, we realize that we are walking out, we're bearing the fruit that Jesus needs us to bear. This thing's not going to happen because of a bunch of people running around boasting about, oh, I've been born of an incorruptible seed. I've been born of an incorruptible seed. I have an incorruptible seed in me. It's great to get saved and to get born again, but there's a maturing that has to come to our lives through faith and patience. Patience, Hebrews says, we inherit the promises the same way that the fathers of our faith did. There's an endurance, there's a walking through for the potential of freedom to actually become walking in true freedom. And I so appreciate the guys that came last Sunday and were able to just witness and testify to us of what God's doing in their lives as they surrender their life to the one who has planted the seed in them so that they can begin to produce the fruit of righteousness. They can begin to tell other people what God's doing. I'm just going to read a scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Second verse of the whole Bible. I think that's pretty cool. It says, the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The only thing that existed in the beginning was God's voice. The void and the darkness, the deep, and the Holy Spirit hovering over that darkness. And immediately when God speaks, the Holy Spirit went to work. And how do you think it works with us? We have to acknowledge daily, I have to acknowledge that, yes, I feel the oppression. Yes, I feel everything that the news is talking about. I feel the weight of all the suffering and pain. I feel all that stuff. I feel the agitation as I watch freedoms try to be taken away from my great nation. I feel all that stuff. But beyond that, there's an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in me. Why? Because He lives in me. He is my source and my life. And when I realize and I acknowledge that there is a bubble that we live in, but there's another bubble and it's closer than that one. It's the one that I'm under. I realize that I walk in a life that has the potential, not only just the potential to produce an impact in my own heart and in people around me, but it has the power to follow through and to make it to happen. It's not just wishful thinking. You know, there's a song that everybody loves to sing called, it's very popular, I Can Only Imagine. If you heard it, the Christian song, I Can Only Imagine, and it goes, and it's, listen, a great song, I'm not knocking the song, but guess what, we can do so much more than imagine. Jesus did not say, guys, I'm going to paint this picture here for you guys. Remember what it looks like. Write it down and then just try to remember what it looks like. He didn't say that. He said, the things that I'm doing, greater things than these. He said, taste and see that I am good. He said that you can pray, our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He gives us a taste of it now if we want it by faith. This is not just an I can only imagine what it's going to be like someday. This is a reality of faith walk that we have, that with the potential that's in us is designed to produce here and now on planet Earth. It's going to produce in Saugerties when we go there tomorrow. Someone's going to get prayed for. Someone's going to get healed. Someone's going to come to know Christ. Because potential is just potential until it's expressed. Potential energy is just potential energy. A book on a shelf has potential energy, and it will have it until Jesus comes back, unless someone knocks it off the edge and it falls and hits the floor and then it blows the dust and it falls apart. And you realize the energy that was stored enough to destroy the book was in it the whole time. Just needed someone to show it, that it can be given an opportunity to be expressed. Or a brick or a glass of water or something else would have been a better example than a book. But you understand, something can sit still and not move for a really long time. And everyone, you can pray and believe and know, you can calculate the physics of how much it weighs and the distance between that and the force of gravity, and you can know how much potential energy is. But it's so much more impressive when someone, let's just see how much is in it, and they just push it off and it falls. And I guess that's a negative expression, right? Maybe like lighting, you know, it's the 4th of July, maybe lighting a fuse on a rocket. All that potential, there we go. You know, those big, huge ones like this, that's just sitting there. And now that they're legal, I don't have to hide them anymore and hope Pastor Chris doesn't inspect my car or anything, because he's on the other side of the law and some of the things that I'm inclined towards. Since I was born in the country, in the woods, and didn't know no better. And your boy didn't know no better. But until you light that fuse, that thing's just a pretty wrapper and a whole bunch of stuff, but you... The energy that it needs to be able to do what it's going to do, it's already been in there. From the factory forward, it's all been in there. Through shipping, through everything else. The energy that's in it has always been in it. But how many of us just need an opportunity to say, Lord, show me, give me an opportunity that the potential that's in me by the seed of Christ who I'm born of, allow me an opportunity to see it expressed. And there's no one that I know who has gotten the courage up to talk to someone about their faith, who's walked away saying, man, I shouldn't have said anything. I didn't have the right answers. They always walk away with, man, I didn't know where that came from. I had answers I didn't even know I knew until they asked me the question and the Holy Spirit just came out. That's the potential energy I'm talking about. People that just seem so ornery and maybe tattooed up or whatever, and you don't even want to talk to them, but then you tap them or you bump into them and be like, hey, can I just, I don't want to annoy you. I mean, like, I just talk to you for a second. You look down. Are you okay? Is anything going on? Can I pray for you? Sometimes those guys are the biggest, softest people. I lost my wife's got cancer or this or that happened. There's an amazing power that we all have in us, but it has to be unleashed. Jesus didn't just sit in heaven and have the potential to change our brokenness. He came to bring freedom to planet Earth by himself coming. You know, we tend to make things into commodity. I just need more grace. I need more patience. I need more mercy. I need more power in my life. Let me tell you something. We're closing. Let me just tell you something. It doesn't come because he gives a gift of a package. Something doesn't show up in your mailbox that says grace on it to your name from God. Be kind of cool if you could just get the amount that I need. I need like 6 grams of grace today. I just know I've got this going on. You know, I'm under this overshadowing thing. You know, I'm going to the dentist later, and it just, you ever notice that? If you just have an appointment like the next day for a dentist, doesn't it overshadow the night before? Like you're trying to enjoy whatever you normally enjoy, but it's just that overshadowing feel. Well, what if we realize that the Holy Spirit is the overshadowing aspect of us? The eternity in our heart is what's supposed to overshadow us. What if that's what we're supposed to live under, that reality that where we're going next now lives in me? It's not just I can only imagine. It's like I can imagine, but I can taste it and smell it and, oh, wait a minute, by faith, he's already here. By faith, he's already here. By faith, heaven has come to live in an earthen vessel. This treasure we have in an earthen vessel.